Good morning. Welcome to the see if I can spit that out today. Welcome to Sports Circus here at 9:20 a.m. NBC Sports. I am your ringmaster, Sal, and I am here today with the human cannonball and a special guest, Morley Greenwood from the NFL. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Great to have you in there.
Thanks for having me.
We've got a full house today. This segment is brought to you by Legal Shield, providing protection whenever you need it. You never know what's around the corner. Give them a call at 213-245-1305 and have peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee. Let's see if I can spit that out again today. I'm killing it today.
We're on air, Sal.
Less than a cup, the cost of a cup of coffee a day. Anyway, that's Legal Shield, 213-245-1305. Call them today. Okay, so now that I've already messed up 14 times in the first 30 seconds, human cannonball.
I'm feeling like a pro over here. I can speak.
You're feeling like you've been shot out of a cannon today.
Absolutely. Things are going wild out there. I have to continue this tale.
Which video's
been posted. UNC student body, guys trying to be a candidate for president. I'm going to say his name, Joe Nail, put on an Allen's full uniform.
Really?
And sat down with a hidden camera and tripped every student in sight. It went viral and absolutely just knocked my socks off. And on top of it, There's some real facts. This kid stomped an Irish player's foot. What's up with this kid, Sal?
Who's stomping Irish player's foot? Get out of here!
I don't know. Check the video.
Really? And whose video was that? Was that the Carolina or the Notre Dame guys?
I get all my stuff off YouTube, man. That's a safe way. It's a people's channel.
Is that right, Moreland?
Well, really? YouTube's not always a safe way, but. It's always good to see the people themselves, but these days people manipulate a lot of things.
Well, all right. So before we go any further, Moreland, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell everybody about us, about yourself, not us. Four times now, really?
Give me what Sal's having.
You know what it is? I'm being blinded by a UNLV shirt. A guy with he's got a Cubs hat. He got another guy with a Carolina hat, and I've got a Duke shirt on today. Really?
Well, all right. First of all, I would like to start by talking about where I'm from. I'm originally from Jamaica. I was born in Kingston. I came to the States when I was 11. I lived in Freeport, Long Island. When I was in Freeport High School, I was fortunate enough to have a coach by the name of Russ Ellen, well, a gym teacher that introduced me to wrestling, then got me into American football when my junior year. And after that year, after playing 1 year of American football, I got offered a full scholarship to go to Syracuse. Then went to Syracuse, started 48 consecutive games there, became a team captain my senior year, got drafted by the Miami Dolphins, and started for the Miami Dolphins as a rookie and started 4 years for the Dolphins and 4 years for the Houston Texans. Then after that, 3 years in the UFL. So about 11-year professional, and I did became in high school, I did become a coach for a state champion. And the reason why I start off by saying that my coach, Russ Ellen, he got me into football, he got me into wrestling. You know, I won like 5 state championships in high school, whether it's freestyle or scholastics or Greco-Roman combined, 5 total. And he was the reason why I got a chance to get to have that opportunity to even become that, because he saw something in me I didn't see in myself, and which is the reason why I'm here today is to talk about the Marlon Greener Foundation. That's why I started the foundation, because that gave me an opportunity to give back to the kids the same way Coach Sellen saw something in me and gave me an opportunity to have such a good life, to be able to help people and to help my family.
Marlon, didn't you start out as a soccer player?
Yeah, started out as a soccer player, you know, coming from Jamaica. That's what we played, soccer and football within the same season. So it was a difficult decision to make. But I had a previous relationship with Coach Sellen in gym class, plus in wrestling as well. And he definitely made this transition simple after it was difficult for him to convince me, which took him like a month to convince me. So. But, yeah, definitely played soccer.
Well, I like the story how you went from soccer to football, and then I like what happened when you came to the NFL and what the coaches told you. Because remember, we had a conversation on this about a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And you were telling me the whole story. It was hilarious. Please tell everybody, because I found it very amusing.
You're talking about, well, the coaches told me a lot of things.
Right. Right. No, I'm referring to is, as you made a transition from this sport to that sport, and then when you got through the collegiate ranks, then you did X and Y, and then when you got to the NFL, you did Z.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, first, we're going to start with high school, because when I first started playing, I didn't really know anything about it. I played defensive end, and my coach told me, Marlon, line up here, don't be offsides, and wherever you see the football, just go get it. that was my responsibility.
Right.
And so I was going to get the football wherever it was, whether the quarterback had it, the running back had it, the wide receiver had it. And then Syracuse saw that, and that's one of the reasons they wanted me to play linebacker, because they wanted me to go up there to play the will linebacker position. And then, you know, as I progressed and I got a scholarship and I went up to Syracuse and I learned the position and started learning what what football is really about, like different technique, where you got to line up. It's really a very intriguing sport and very intellectual sport, where everybody is accounted for. Everybody has to have their own alignment, where they got to read, and it's a progression. And I really enjoy that about the game. And we started 48 games there at Syracuse. And you know, when I got drafted by the Miami Dolphins, Coach Jim Bates, I remember he pulled me aside and he told me, Marlon, we've never had a guy that came into the system and learned it as fast as you did, yeah, coming from Syracuse. But sometimes when you're out there and you're focusing and you're just trying to be the best that you can be, you don't really notice those things, and you kind of just go in one ear and out the other, because you got to go out there, you got to do it the next day, right?
Right, right.
You can't start patting yourself on the shoulder and be like, oh, yeah.
So what happened when you got to the NFL? What did the coaches tell you about first downs?
Oh, that was high school.
Was it high school? I thought it was the
first
NFL.
Down. Right. So I played in four games. I played in four games in high school, and I didn't even know what a first down was, right? And we were in practice one day, and Coach Sellen looked at me and said, Marlon, on first down, what do you think they're going to do? And I'm standing there looking at him. And he said, Marlon, on first down, what do you think they're going to do? And I'm still there looking at him, and he's getting more angry. And then he caught himself and was like, oh, you don't even know what a first down is, do you? No, I've played in four games. And I was just doing what he told me. Line up here, don't be offsides, and go get the football. That's all I was doing.
I love that. Go get the football.
Go get the football. So he told me, all right. He said, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you. Your job is to go home, watch Monday Night Football, and then tell me what you think a first down is. And that's what I did. And that night, I remember this day, because fast forward now, it means a lot more, because at that time I didn't know that you could go to college and play in the NFL. So I was watching the Arizona Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys. And I figured out what the first down was, and I told him the next day. But I don't think it, at that point, I didn't know I was going to get a full scholarship to go to Syracuse. I didn't know I was going to get drafted by the Miami Dolphins. This was my first year playing football, and that was in the fourth game, and I was just trying to figure out what the first down was. And there I was watching the Arizona Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys, which was a stadium that I ended up playing the Dallas Cowboys in later on, and I ended up playing against those
teams. That must
have
been pretty cool.
You know, it's and that's one of the reasons I tell the kid through the foundation that you can accomplish anything you want in life as long as you believe in yourself and you stick to that goal and you continue to work and you put the best foot forward, and it's going to happen. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's a process, and it takes time.
Right. We're going to talk a little bit more about your event that's coming up in the next segment. So, Mr. Cannonball, you started to tell me about a story, and unfortunately the story was kind of slanted for the other clubs, such as Notre Dame. and those boys from Chapel Hill. What do you got?
Well, you know, it's a simple thing. There's a video that's posted by UNC student body president candidate Joe Nail. Basically, what he did is he put on a full alum uniform and he posted a hidden camera and he tripped everybody.
That'd be a Grayson Allen uniform.
Him,
really?
Yeah. And
come
you know
on,
what?
Man.
Well, check it out. The video was staged, but it was for fun. But, you know, Allen's one of Duke's best players. But, you know, usually he's making headlines for all the wrong reasons.
Well, he's making headlines because, A, he's a great player. And, B, everybody wants him on their team, whether they like it or not. And the NBA, J-Webb, what do you think about this? Think about Bill Laimbeer, Detroit Pistons. Nobody liked the guy, but everybody wanted a Bill Laimbeer on their team. Right or wrong?
Does everybody want someone on their team that has numerous incidents of tripping opponent players?
You need an enforcer. I mean, back in the day, that was pretty standard. So
absolutely.
What about the meltdowns on the bench?
What about them?
Players, is he passionate?
Players play with intensity. They're passionate. Moreland, chime in anytime. They play with intensity, and sometimes it may look a little bit different than what's really going on. And we see that every week in and week out with Phillip Rivers. I'm not a big Phillip Rivers fan.
I'm here to get an education, guys. I'm not here to say this guy's a brat. I'm just going, this is kind of extreme.
Well, he is a brat, but that's okay.
I didn't really saw what was happening with who'll be the promoting the fun foundation, the Galloway.
He's
coming
tripping
up.
Guys. Even who, guys who, that are from small teams.
They're just going out there
like
tripping the guy.
The guys run down the ball. It's like
he's not running out there to just trip everybody.
One of the smallest teams they play at all year. He's got to trip a kid.
One of the smallest teams? And who might that be?
You know,
how many
saying.
Kids have he tripped?
I would say, what, 3 or 4?
Yeah, it's 3 or 4 at this point.
How many games? How many games?
The sample size is 9.
6 or 7.
You got to have a minimum sample size of 9.
He also got suspended for a couple of games. So.
And he throws a fit on the bench.
This is basketball or football?
High-level college basketball.
It's the top of the game in college basketball.
You know, you're saying tripping, and I'm thinking football. You
that's
know,
how you get a flag, right?
He's not out of his mind. Right. He's actually putting his foot out, and people are falling on the court. And there's only 10 guys and some refs.
See, this guy doesn't watch the game. He just reads about it, or he'll see a quick video clip. He doesn't actually see what's going on in the real game.
Not every listener at this point has basically built it into his game. You can tell that the way he cuts and pivots and moves on the court, he has built tripping other players into his game plan.
Well, how many guys in the NFL throw knees out?
A lot of guys.
Okay. All right, sometimes so here you go, Barry.
But they don't have to go to algebra class after the game.
No, because they've already gone. Hopefully they've gone already.
That's a big hope, Sal, but right. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I can't really talk too much about the basketball because I never really played much basketball. I did track and field.
Marlon, you ever throw a knee out and block somebody, get somebody out of the way?
Where in the
NFL.
Game.
Do you ever throw a knee out and tackle somebody?
Yeah, I mean, any way to tackle him.
You ever grab a guy from behind with a collar and choke him out?
surely you've horse collared somebody.
You're not really trying to do that, right?
Right.
But you're just trying to take the guy down with by any means necessary. And sometimes with the tripping, sometimes the offensive lineman is holding me the other way, and I'm got to make the tackle, so I throw the leg out there. You're holding me. All right, take that.
Right.
Well, 30 players on a field versus 10. I mean, it's a little bit different. Let's hope that this guy just calms down and beats the champion that he is. I'm going to watch a lot more about how he plays and
watch some games instead of some edited video from somebody else. That's my suggestion.
It's the AI syndrome.
Here we go. All right. You know, we have an NBA correspondent that play with AI on a regular basis with 76ers, and I got to tell you, I'm going to talk to him about that today, and we'll see where that one goes, because we'll just see if Theo had the same problem or his teammates did with the AI syndrome.
Bryce, I can start spitting out first names, man. There's a lot of entitlement in this world, and it starts from everybody getting a first prize ribbon when you're 7.
Because everybody gets a trophy in today's time. Everyone gets a ribbon, a trophy.
That's why the evolution of what we're watching today on TV is because everybody's special.
Well, of course, everybody's special, and that's why everybody gets a blue ribbon, everyone gets a trophy, and all that other fun stuff. Well, Okay, welcome back to the Sports Circus here, 9:20 a.m. Are you ready? Guys, are we ready?
Yes.
We are ready.
We're ready to rock and roll.
All righty. This segment is brought to you by American Business Trust Company, specializing in startup consulting, sales and marketing, corporate strategy, and investment capital. Visit them at abtrustco.com or call 657-600-1876 for all your business needs. Tell them the Sports Circus sent you for special pricing. Marlon?
Yes, sir.
We have to talk about the Super Bowl.
Wow.
At least we're done with these slanted Grayson Allen talks. I got to tell you, I had it up to my earlobes in that. That was just complete lunacy. And that's going to continue when the doors close here.
Yep.
Right, right. So
Super Bowl, man, that was, hats off to Tom Brady. You know, the guy doesn't give up, and he works hard, and he has a chip on his shoulder. He's always been playing like that since I played against him when I was with the Dolphins. We played each other like twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Did you go bowling after the games?
No, I went to the ice stop.
All right.
but what a game! You know, the Falcons were pretty much had it in control the first half, and it came out the second half, and that's one of the things I always tell guys, you know, when we play, because I've been through a lot of games like that. After you've been through the first half, the Patriots went into the halftime. They made their halftime adjustments because whatever they were doing the first half wasn't working, and Atlanta goes in at halftime and say, you know what, guys, we're up 24 or 21-3.
21-3, right.
Yeah, 21-3. We're doing everything right. We don't have to change anything. Mm-hmm. So the Patriots made the correct adjustment. They came out and they started doing, and Atlanta just kept on doing the same thing. But, you know, that's also along with the momentum of the game, and also Tom Brady being the quarterback that is and everybody stepping up on the Patriots. But also, you know, because Atlanta was still playing good. You know, the defense were 9-7. He had like 3 sacks. I mean, you know, great game. Dwight Freeney had a sack from Syracuse. Mm-hmm. I played with Dwight. Right. So I got to give him a little shout out.
But you know what, Moreland, look, end of day, winners win. They find ways to win games. Other teams that are not ready, they just don't win. You can cut it up however you want. At the end of the day, the team that was supposed to win. Period.
You know, you're absolutely right. You said it right there. Winners win.
Yeah.
And it just come from deep down inside of you that you just don't accept second best. You know, I've learned it from, you know, doing the wrestling and also, you know, doing the boxing. And you know, when you have that burning desire to succeed and to win, you know, nobody could really take it away from you.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, look, there's no second place trophy in the Super Bowl. Nobody cares. Not many people remember who lost the Super Bowl from years past.
You know, you're absolutely right, but it's
unless
really
you're the
sad.
Minnesota Vikings,
you know, but
I mean,
it has to be a winner.
They lost 4 of them, right?
Has to be a winner, but
Buffalo, right? Minnesota and Buffalo, they both lost 4.
Oh yeah, I know of Buffalo. I didn't know.
Yeah, Minnesota lost 4 as well.
Four.
I mean, me growing up a Bears fan, of course, that was great news for me.
Are you at any point going to mention the fact that Roger Goodell has positioned himself as Vince McMahon and purposely? You talk about winners win. Well, it's easy to win when it's scripted. Tell me the NFL, with all the controversy, with all the concussions, didn't love the way that 25-point second half comeback came. And he basically, if Roger Goodell says, how can I make, I'll be the hated guy, I'll be Vince McMahon, I'll let them slap me around, I'll let Roger Goodell, or I'll hand Tom Brady his stupid trophy because I'm going to get rich making my $32 million a year as the commissioner.
Exactly.
I think it's totally scripted.
I think that part was.
My Dolphins, would they come in and say, well, we're not going to make the playoffs this year because Roger Goodell's not going to let us?
Absolutely not. And a lot of people think, you know, football is like this. You practice the plays that you see like the other team is running, right? You practice it throughout the week. You go over it, but you don't really know what plays they're going to run. They could come out and line up in a total different offense that you didn't even practice the entire week. That's why when people ask me, who do you think is going to win? I'll be like, you know, it's just like a movie. Any given Sunday, you never know who. Like, everybody thought Atlanta was going to win.
Well, yeah, it looked that way. And
it looked that way, right?
Yeah, and you know what? They didn't have killer instinct. They couldn't put them away.
Yeah.
Period.
And when I was watching the game, it's all about the momentum. There's a certain time in the game when the momentum shifts.
Right.
And then you could just see that the other team have the momentum now. And that's when the other team has to rise up even higher to shift that momentum.
So let's talk about momentum. We're going to tilt the table a little bit to bring a little momentum down to the other end over here. Mm-hmm. And we have Parker Hart with us. Parker was with us last week as our student athlete for baseball, but now he's here for football. He's actually a three-sport guy.
Nice.
He's killing it. He's over at Palm Valley High School, and there's a huge applause. Congratulations. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on again.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just want to say last week when I was on, I was 3 points away from predicting the final. I said 31-28 Patriots. So
you did.
I was pretty upset when they scored that touchdown. I was hoping for the field goal, but
I actually had 41-23. I had the total points right.
Just a little off.
But I had the total points right. I had the coin flip right.
Yes, you did. I remember
I called 303 yards passing for Ryan. He had 284. I called two touchdowns. He had two. I called a fumble, if you recall. Yeah. And yes, he did fumble. And I also had an interception, which he was inches away from getting picked off officially.
Yeah.
I had it. Absolutely had it.
I was closest on the point margin, so.
That you were. On the margin you were.
Yes.
But I was on the total. So, now we have a football discussion because last week you had a baseball discussion. Brett Boone was our guest last week, and now we've got 11-year pro, Moreland Greenwood.
How's it going, Moreland?
Everything's going fine. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Which position do you play?
For football, I'm the quarterback.
Quarterback?
Yes, sir.
The Brady. Uh-huh. Brady position.
Well, I'm a lefty, though. So.
Right. Yeah, but how long have you been playing?
Third grade, maybe. So
oh, that's good.
Forever. Yeah, good. Pretty much.
And you're a junior now?
I'm a senior.
Senior. So how are you looking for you're going to be a senior? Or are you?
I'm already a senior. So
okay, so yeah. You already had your football season.
Yeah, my career is pretty much done for football because I'm going to be playing baseball in college. So
oh, baseball. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to play all three.
Only if I could.
You can. It's just if you want to, right?
Yeah, I would love to. Then if the school would give me that opportunity, I would take it. So
take the opportunity.
Uh-huh.
Yep, definitely. Now your life is going into a different direction. What did you envision your life being, when you were in?
When I was young?
Yeah.
When I was younger, I would always lay in bed and think, oh, like, it's going to be awesome being the varsity quarterback for our school. Because I'm from, like, a smaller town, so it's, like, a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, to be honest, everything's, like, as what I envisioned it. So, it's really great.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. When I was a kid, one of my vision was just to help my family, I didn't know how I was going to do it, but it's just the reason why I tell people that is sometime in life, you just have to have something that you really want to do. And then everything else just formulates around it and just help you to achieve that goal.
That's like another thing. Like, since it's a small town, I love like bringing like winning to the town. So it brings everyone together and it's just like, it's a great thing. You know?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. That's one of the big things about bringing people together and uplifting people and making them, strong. And that's one of the things that we do in the foundation is to uplift. Our mission is to uplift, integrate, and inspire success to reach the adolescent full potential by respecting diversity in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So believe it and you will achieve it. So I wish you all the best, man.
Thank you
all the best in everything. And if you have any questions that you want to ask me, feel free.
Hey, right, Moreland, you have a camp coming up.
Yes.
Why don't you talk about that for just a quick minute?
Oh, yeah. We have a camp coming up. It's going to be in early July this summer. It's going to be somewhere here in Clark County. And it's going to be anywhere from kids from anywhere from kindergarten all the way to high school. We're going to separate them in different age groups, and we're going to teach them like the fundamentals of playing football. Our vision is to learn about football, embrace life, because football teaches you a lot of things about life, teach you to overcome adversity, teach you about discipline, teach you about teamwork, working together, and also exactly what you said, bringing people together. And we're going to have that this summer, so we're looking forward to seeing and getting everybody involved that want to come there, learn the fundamentals, and there's going to be some entertainers there, celebrities and NFL athletes.
Right. So do you know who's on your guest list at this point? Some of your friends from the NFL, some alumni?
Possibly, Dwight Freeney, like I mentioned, Keith Bullock, and there's going to be a lot of local guys this year that I'm riling at the moment. Definitely is some Syracuse alumni.
Maybe
Donovan McNabb.
All right.
I'll reach out to him. He's a busy guy. He's always all over the place. He has a TV show, and he's always on sports radio.
Well, so are you. Yeah. There you are today, right?
Yeah. Hey. I have a quick question for you. I cover high school sports here in town, and you totally see as you go to 35 different high schools who is having money pumped into them to be helpful. When you talk about you're going to have your camp somewhere in Clark County, do you think it's better to put it in one of the poorer commute parts of the town so that they get these opportunities to connect with people who have been successful like you? Because you see a lot of parts of town where they just don't have those resources pumped in, and a lot of the kids are desperate for that.
Well, the foundation is all about it's a leadership mentorship program for at-risk youth and underprivileged kids. So we open it up for them, but at the same time, we open it up for everybody as well, because we don't want to exclude any of the kids. So the location is going to be central located where everybody could attend, and we just want to make sure that we reach out to everyone and just give them the skills and the teaching and the coaching that they need. Because, if you help everyone, everyone becomes a success. So that's really the aim of the foundation.
Well, you see a lot of kids, their parents are trying to get them on the best team and always win and the most resources. But you, like you said, a lot of the times, if you don't know any better, it makes it easier to come from nothing. Do you agree?
Yeah, I could talk about myself personally. I'm from Jamaica. I used to walk. I used to walk with no shoes, and then having to come to America and getting the opportunity to play football to give me an opportunity to get an education. I got my degree in in physical therapy, and also got my degree in physical therapy, and that opened like a lot of doors for me. It was a tremendous opportunity for me. So that's the same thing I'm trying to do for the kids. I'm trying to help them to have the same type of opportunity. And let me just let people know about the website. Let people know about where to go to get the information about the camp and everything that we have going on. It's MarlonGreenwoodFoundation.com. It's MorlonGreenwood foundation.com. Yeah, a lot of people spell the name different, but I want to make sure they know it's MorlonGreenwood foundation.com, and all the information is going to be there.
Yeah, there's a lot of good information there. I've read through it. I know you have an upcoming event. We'll talk about that in the next segment.
Yes,
but I do want to say that Parker Hart is a very skilled athlete. He's a very good student, and the one thing that we like to do is bring excellent students that just happen to be good at sports. Well, he's good at three sports.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Right. Football, baseball, and which other one?
Basketball.
Oh, basketball. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. I saw him slam dunking the other night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's one thing I never was able to do, slam dunk. I run pretty fast.
Well, I used to run fast.
I was one of the fastest linebackers coming up.
I like to think I run fast, but...
But, I always think, hey, do I have to jump to catch someone? No, I have to run to catch them. So it was more important.
I'm usually trying not to get caught when I'm on the field. So,
okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well, listen, Parker, as always, it's a pleasure having you in. I don't care if it's our second, third, fourth, tenth week. It doesn't matter. You're always welcome back in here. We'd love to have you again.
Thank you.
And we're going to have you take us out. Go ahead and take us out, would you?
This segment is brought to you by the Marlon Greenwood Foundation, providing socially and economically disadvantaged students with creative, community-based programs to drive their academic and social skills. check out the MorelandGreenwoodFoundation.com for their March 24th special event here in Las Vegas.
All right, you're listening to the Sports Circus here, 920 AM, NBC Sports. I love the music. I'm just letting it play. It's ridiculous. First, it's Saturday morning cartoons of Sports Talk Radio here on the Sports Circus, NBC Sports 920. This segment is brought to you by Rising Above Search Engine Optimization, providing the best SEO web design and social media management on the internet. Call them at 855-747-4641 or visit them at risingaboveseo.com. Back here today with Moreland Greenwood from the Moreland Greenwood Foundation, the NFL, and superstar fame and all that other fun stuff you can throw at him. And the Hubie Cannonball is back.
Let me tell you
he's
something.
He's back to cause more trouble.
Moreland just impresses the socks off of me. I mean, he's humble. He's done all these things. He talks about coming from nowhere and what his motivation is. When you know your why, and your why is because folks count on me, you know what I mean, to eat. I mean, it makes things easy. And it reminds me of that that football movie. When they were like, well, why do you keep getting beat? You're so big. And the lady comes out on the field and says, hey, these are your family. This guy's your family. Protect him. And then all of a sudden he became a superstar. So, man, I love that stuff.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know what? We've had it every week. That's why I love coming here. I never know how I'm going to be touched. I think I come from, like, humble beginnings, and I think I try hard. But, man, you just made me realize I need to turn my game up.
Because you're not walking barefooted like this guy right?
Either way, I can do more, and that's what I feel when I get around you. So, wow, I've dedicated myself. I'm going to give some time to the Moreland Greenwood Foundation.
Thank
just
you very
because
much.
You're worthy. But you know what? I'll share something with you. Not every story I tell is going to be funny or hilarious, but it's going to be unique. Nick fans' favorite, Charles Oakley, got into a physical altercation at the Madison Square Garden. Security got shoved. Two or three people got tussled around. All said and done, he's screaming at the owner of the team, and he's hauled off in a paddy wagon with his cuffs on. Sal, you know all about it. All I'm doing is reading stories going, what the H is going on? This guy's a legacy. He's dying to be part of the team, and they shun him like he's Schleprock or something.
Look, he's number one. He's a fan favorite in New York. Everybody loved him because he's basically a garbage truck. I mean, just a big behemoth of a
person.
He sure
was the other
night.
He's
huge. No, he's just this big bulldozer monstrosity of a man, and he pushed people around. He was a fan favorite because he played hard every game. I mean, Michael Jordan didn't like him, so he said, well, sorry, buddy, you're going to New York, and that's what happens over there. But the fact is, Charles Oakley was a very, very good player. Everybody liked him there. J-Webb, you can account to this. This is a guy that certainly was within his right. What he didn't do is he wasn't cussing at people that I really saw. Of course, I wasn't there. But
he sure was yelling at James Dolan.
But as a fan, you have the right to speak up, but you're paying money. I mean, he probably didn't pay to get in, but the average fan...
Well, not only was he a fan favorite, but he's a current player favorite. And that's why they affectionately know they call him Uncle Oak.
Right.
And he's your crazy uncle who, you know, you want to make sure he stops at six, but you want to make sure he drinks six. Right.
Not
you
seven. He said
right. Six. Seven. You want him to go right up to the line. But he did. And James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, is well known as, of the four major pro sports, 120 teams, he's the worst owner because you can lose on purpose to make more money, and that's what he does with the Knicks, essentially. And the wheels are coming off in New York, and you've got the Carmelo, Phil Jackson feud, and now, you know, Uncle Oak. By the way, they say he was, quote, on one when he came in the arena. By the time he got to a seat, I don't know, maybe he already had four of those six in him. But, you know, a lot of the fans around him say that James Dolan's kind of smoke and mirrors, making this look like it was more physical than it was, and it was more fighting for the team and the players and those fans that you said love him.
Yeah, they do love him. And see, the problem is, if you look at Phil Jackson, and look, Phil Jackson stepped into a great position that Doug Collins built the Bulls, right?
This is the third time he's done
it. Oh, right. So Phil steps into
Zen Master.
Tex Winters is the actual
Tex is the guy of the triangle offense. Exactly. So you've got Phil Jackson steps into a perfect scenario in Chicago. Then, oh, by the way, he gets done with the run because Mike retires. Then he goes to L.A. and he's got Kobe and Shaq. He got another ready-made championship team. So now the guy's got 10 friggin' rings. And then you send him to New York and he's got a broken Coke machine to work with.
Exactly, and basically he's been on some Zen run for 30 years that is...
That was Zen my ass.
Exactly.
Get out of here with that. I don't want to hear about
that.
And that's
the thing. He sets himself up to be perceived as this all-knowing, you know, spiritual leader that holds them all together. And we're seeing that realistically he's the one that's, you know, messing everything up before he leaves.
Right, and all he
has
done...
He's become the Pete Carroll of the NFL.
Right, right.
Or he was before Pete Carroll was... Yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly. He's redefined himself. Maybe that's his middle name. I don't know.
Hey, even Doc Rivers said it was tough to watch. He goes, you know, when I saw my man, my guy, getting shoved around in the tussle, he goes, I took 3 steps, and I knew if I took one more, I'd be in the same paddy wagon with him. But,
right.
Well, you know, whatever they got going over there, it's ugly.
Did anyone really know exactly what happened? Like,
dude,
what was the cause of it?
Dude was pissed the F off, and well, he was shoving
why?
People
you know,
around so
he,
much.
They probably because the Knicks
that's what
smell.
Happened.
Probably because the Knicks really smell right now.
He sees his team and his love being run into the ground. What about if you're playing for someone that you feel is purposely running your team to the ground and sabotaging you? How would you react?
Well, I don't know exactly what triggered anything with him. So I don't want to really comment on
Please do comment.
You know, no, I don't want to comment because if they'd be like, okay, this is what Oakley said and this is what this person said, then I could be like, he's right and he's wrong or he's right, you know.
Right.
Other,
three
other
sides
way around.
Of every story.
But he stood up, went
until,
nuts, and
until,
got
you
taken
know,
to jail.
All people saw is him getting upset.
He stood
nobody
up and grew
really
a pair,
know what happened.
Right.
Nobody.
And then he got
know what happened.
Jail.
And, you know, everybody's making all but, type of.
Well, well the reason he actually got taken to jail, if you really want to know, is
right.
He bumped
the Knicks
some security
horrible.
Guards.
He bumped some security guards.
Yeah, he bumped some people. He shoved one guy around vigorously, we could say.
The best part about this, they say he's banned for life.
Oh,
from Madison Square. Oh, right. Okay. Now, I know what that's like. I got banned from a casino in Illinois, in Joliet, Illinois. I got pissed because some guy was at the other end of the table, my father and I got mad because he was kind of taunting us. So I took the dice and I threw the dice. I hit him right in the head with him. Huh. You know, security, they escorted me out. You can't ever come back here. Well, guess what? I was able to come back if I wanted to. But Charles Oakley can go back wherever he wants. Eric Dickerson, he said he would never go back to watch the Rams as long as Fisher was around. Well, guess what? That ship has sailed, so now Dickerson's going to be back in the Coliseum.
You know, sometime, you know, some people say never say never because you never know what's going to happen and what the future holds. And but at the same time, sometimes it's always a way to diffuse a situation opposed to escalate it. And, you know, that's why it's good to know what the situation is, what happened, and see how we could have possibly prevent that situation from happening.
But, you know, Moreland, in my opinion, their MO was, just as Jay Webb said, is to get the team fired up. And let's face it, it's just like in a hockey game, you've got the goons go out there and start a fight to get their team riled up.
I'm going to answer this because this is one of the things. We are athletes and we are aggressive players. And we play intense and we play hard and the game come on Sunday. Yeah. But it only happens in the game. It doesn't happen outside, you know, because you have to carry yourself in a certain way. And that's one of the same things that I instill in these kids and let them know that you cannot conduct yourself a certain way when you're trying to be in a business-like manner, are you trying to reach a certain level of success? Because there's like a certain path you have to walk, and it takes a lot of discipline. Because even in the sports and in the spotlight, if Charles Oakley, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
If you call him Uncle Oak.
if he, you know, I'm sure if that had happened during the time when he was coming up and, you know, athlete and stuff like that, who knows how that could affect him getting drafted and going to the different
But
teams.
He was doing the same thing. I think he went to Oak State.
He led the league in technicals.
Yeah,
he was already in the league.
He was already in the league. I'm talking like before they actually make a decision. Like,
I think
know,
he came out of the womb
drafted.
Kicking and punching people.
Yeah,
and
by the way, he got a technical as soon as he was born.
On the guy.
Well, we're talking about kids acting a certain way. Grayson Allen, if you're Grayson Allen, indefinite suspension means, what, one game? Right.
Yeah, so, pretty much.
It's all relative.
Yeah, I mean, look.
By the way, I've got my Carolina guy feeding these lines for
you. Really, yeah. Really, Mark, you're killing me over here.
Yeah, but
just grab a microphone and just chime in anytime, would you?
He's got staff.
But right. like, the
this is a puppet string.
What I'm really trying to say is, you know, there's a certain way that you have to conduct yourself on the field. You know, on the field, you're playing and you guys are competing. But once you're off the field, you know, the game is over. So that aggression that you show on the field, you know, you don't show it in everyday life. So those are the things that we try to teach them, the, you know, the integrity and basically a certain way to carry themselves and how to uplift themselves and try to be a success in life.
Well, I agree 100%. That it actually is starting to carry over because the NBA had to come out and say, stop talking smack on Twitter because it's starting to roll into
exactly.
ball games.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Enough is enough.
Exactly.
Enough. The social media part of it is really making the muddy, the water very muddy.
Social media, man.
It's dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Like, people could go on there and say whatever, and all it takes is one individual trying to say bad things about you, and then everybody's reading that and think it's the truth. But that's why it's very important for you to know the truth and from the person themselves, because sometimes that can lead you in the wrong direction of your mindset and lead you astray. So... you know, that's like another thing they need to clean up. But, you know, but in general, you know, we have to think of the kids, you know, the kids coming up and what they're looking at. And
they're going to do exactly
and they're gonna
what
do
we do.
Exactly what we do. And we have to lead by example and we have to raise up to another level and lift them up. And so they know how to, you know, carry themselves and how they have to be for the future.
I just want to know, at what point did athletes become exempt from being role models?
Charles Barkley.
He said it flat out. He said, I'm not your child's role model.
That was very quick, by the way.
That's why I make the big bucks.
Right.
His friend from South Carolina
cool.
texted it to him.
Right.
You know, but I also think...
I see money getting thrown around the room. Quick, throw some this way. There's
this
no
Vegas.
Fan
I'm
blowing
used to
it this
dollars
way.
Dollars swirling around me.
Right. You know, but you know, believe it or not, you are a role model because you know, kids are looking up to you, and you know, these days, one of the reasons for the foundation is that kids look up to entertainers, athletes, actors, you know, as their leaders, opposed to the teachers and professors and the one that's really educating them. So now it's the athlete role or the entertainer's role to be that and to teach them the right thing.
Well,
so
when I was a kid, it was Moreland, exactly. When I was a kid, I looked up to the other baseball players. You know, that's what I did when I was a kid, and I always wanted to be a good individual as they were good individuals as well, not just somebody that's making a bunch of bank.
Exactly.
Because that doesn't define you.
Exactly. Because it's all about how much people you help, and you don't know what a single action can cause someone else to do.
Well, see, that's
that
why...
might influence the wrong individual.
Guys like you have the Moreland Greenwood Foundation. Great cause, great everything. And frankly, there's just not enough of that out there. And I'm glad that you've taken the charge here in the Valley for that.
Well, you know, it's... You know, I'm just trying to, you know, pay it forward just the way my high school coach did. You know, he saw me. He saw something inside of me that I didn't see myself. Coming from Jamaica, I didn't know that you can get this opportunity. I didn't know I could get a full scholarship. I didn't know I could play in the NFL. I didn't know about any of that thing, and was able to help my family, which to fulfill my childhood dream. So. This was all because of Coach Sellin. All of this thing happened because of him. You know, it took him a month to convince me to play football. This guy was like, he was popping up out of all of my classes.
He'd be jumping out of bushes like, hey, Marvin, let's play some football.
It took him 1 month. And later on, he told me, hey, Marlon, I knew everything about it. I knew your schedule. How do you think I knew where you were going to come from? So I just want to give thanks to Coach Sellin for that.
That's awesome.
That's a great testimony. One thing that we can say is that 99% of these kids are doing their best. But I'm gonna go ahead and put a challenge out. If you're around some influential individual, child, man, woman, old, young, and you can, you know, find something redeeming about them, boost them up. Let's all start boosting each other up instead of tearing people down.
Exactly.
And I think we're going to get ourselves a great 217. And, you know, I have been impressed with a lot of people, but I've yet to be inspired. And Marlon, you've inspired the cannonball. I'm going to go shoot myself out on a world record run right after this show. Woo-hoo!
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so listen, there's a couple things that we have to cover, and we're going to switch sports here because I've got to take just a couple of minutes to talk about some proposed rule changes for baseball. And hey, look, I've got Jay Webb putting his thumb down. I've got North Carolina over there looking at me like, what the hell are you doing?
Someone from South Carolina just texted you that Brady won again.
I have to do this. I have to do this because, look, the one thing that I don't understand, we talk about rule changes, and what I don't get is how you can try to take a game without going into all these rules. How do you try to take a game and reinvent the game because, A, you want to be time sensitive, but at the same time, you're inciting things that are going to extend the game. Think about that in football. Moreland, if we took the game from 60 minutes, well, San Diego plays 58 minutes, for example. It might actually work well for them. But if you start changing the clock, you start changing this rule and that rule, whatever rule, now you have to relearn the game that you weren't even a football player from the start. Exactly. Imagine that. Somebody threw that curveball at you.
Exactly.
And now you're like, what the heck am I supposed to do?
It's kind of like every time they're trying to make the game safer, which is good, you know, as far as the hits and stuff. But it's very difficult for a defensive player, you know, when, you know, they have to say you have to keep your head out of it and all this other stuff. Something you can't avoid it. And no one is really trying to hurt anyone. He's just trying to do his job. And so when you have those different changes, like there was another rule change that you couldn't hit the receiver past 5 yards. And so it gave the receiver like a little bit more more leverage to do what he wants and put his move on you and look all nice and
grab you at the numbers and kind of ragdoll you. So, it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, so it, you know, rule change always happen, but it's the same thing in life. Change is going to happen and you have to adapt to it. And that's how you evolve to the next phase in life, in everything. So you have to accept it. It's going to happen. Change is going to happen. So you just adapt to it and change. And the more you adapt to it and change, the better you will be.
Cannonball, I'm going to give you the final word.
Again, this man is he's prophesizing right now. He's basically consistent. He's humble. But at the end of the day, the story is always the same. Believe in yourself. Take the time to notice something good in everyone and encourage that person, because Mr. Klingerman did it for me when I was 13, okay? And your guy did it for you, and everybody has somebody. So if we can take anything away, be that someone in somebody's life that makes them turn out to be like Marlon and be the best person they can be. And it has been a blessing to have you here today, sir. Thank you
very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you know, Marlon, it's really been a pleasure. And, of course, we're going to have you back as well. Listen, I want to give out a big thanks to all of our special guests, being yourself and Parker Hart from coming all the way down from the other side of the next valley over at Pahrump. You know, Parker's a good kid. And over in Pahrump, they don't get the looks that they do in this valley or in Southern California. So we're trying to give guys like him as many opportunities as possible. And, you know, here, this is kind of like the Saturday morning cartoons of sports talk radio. But what are we trying to do? We're trying to do something good for the community. That's why we have someone like yourself, Moreland, with the foundation. Again, that would be MorelandGreenwoodFoundation.com.
Yes.
I think everybody should check it out. He's got a big event coming up on the 24th, a black tie event. That would be the 24th of March.
Yeah, 24th of March.
Right.
Anthem Center.
Which, that means I have to go rent a tux, I suppose, right? I don't know. Yeah. But no, it's... Yes. These kind of events are influential on a lot of people, and I think there's – oh, look, I got money. Nice. There, and he's taking it back. What are you doing? Jeez. So that's how it works over here, right? But anyway, no, it's the foundation's great. Mm-hmm. The cause is fantastic. I'm really looking forward to attending.
Yes.
And, you know, certainly we're going to have a lot of influential kids, you know, looking around saying, hey, let's help out the little brothers, the little sisters, whomever, whatever.
Exactly. Right? You know, one hand washes the other, and when we come together as a unit, that's how we become stronger. United we stand, divided we fall.
Absolutely. We always used to say, "In both hands wash the face." That's what we said.
Both hands wash the face.
Moreland, is there a phone number that you want to pass along, or is it just the website?
You have the website and the foundation. Foundation phone number is 702-907-2556. That's 702-907-2556. And
all
the website is MorlandGreenwoodFoundation.com. It's MorlonGreenwoodFoundation.com.
All right. Again,
Friday, March 24th.
Again, a big thanks to Moreland Greenwood, Parker Hart for coming down. Today's show was brought to you by Legal Shield, legal protection for you and your business for less than the price of a cup of coffee a day. 213-245-1305 to protect your family today. Also, a big shout out to my friends over at The Franchise. That would be John Conti, Rich Australia, Bob Gibson. They can be heard on ESPN Radio AM 830 KLAA in Southern California. You can also stream them online at thefranchise.la. Catch me as Sal the Bookmaker weeknights at 10 p.m. Adding to their havoc and mayhem, check out sal.vegas for details. For more chaos, watch the Friday edition of the Sports Circus on your smart TV at 2 p.m. WCOBM.com on Las Vegas Channel. You can also stream the show live, YouTube, Facebook, and wiseguysradio.com. Find the link under show schedule. For the Human Cannonball and our special guests, Moreland Greenwood, Parker Hart, this is your ringmaster, Sal. Thank you for clowning around with us here at the Sports Circus. Remember, tune in next Saturday, 8 a.m. here on NBC Sports 920 The Game for another hilarious episode. So long, everyone.